We're going to read five verses 20 through 24. Little heads up, I've been speaking on this passage for 3 weeks at the nursing home. I had no idea that I would get stuck on a passage for 3 weeks at the nursing home. So y'all are going to get a splattering of three different messages, okay? And it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You will live. This is the story where these Greeks come to see the Lord. John chapter 12, verse 20 says this, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip coming and telling Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Once again, let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, please bless the reading of your word and bless the feeble effort that's about to go forth. Lord, please bless in our hearts, we pray. Lord, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take just a few moments before you and investigate something that might not need to be investigated, but I think it's a profitable investigation, and that is, why did these guys come to see Jesus? What was their motives? Could have been good, could have been bad. We don't really know. It does seem to tell, we'll get to that in a minute, it does seem to be that the Lord read through their hearts immediately and then said what he said, and we will get to that in a moment. But just to investigate their motives for just a minute, these guys were from Greece. They were Greeks. They were Greeks. Right off the bat, Paul didn't think a whole lot of the Greeks. What did he say? They were slow bellies and something else. I can't think. Anyway, he didn't think too much of the Greeks, but he preached to them, and many were saved. In Mars Hill, we see a little splattering of the history of the Greeks, because there they had so many gods. They worshipped, and Paul preached to them the one God that they attested to. There was an unknown God. He said, well, I'm going to preach to you about him. And he preached to these Greeks. And these Greeks, it says very clearly in verse 20 that they had come up to worship at the feast. So these may have been proselytes. We don't really know. We're not sure about it. But they came, and spoke to Philip and Andrew and said, we would see Jesus. Sir, they were respectful. Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to have an opportunity to see him. And so let's for just a moment just investigate some motives. There's some good motives for them coming, possibly. And there's possibly some bad motives for them coming. We don't know. We might call them righteous and unrighteous. But I hope and pray that it's a reasonably profitable time for the next few minutes just to investigate possible motives. One of those motives may very well have been that they had come for healing. They had heard that this man could heal. Matter of fact, that was a very common reason why people came to Jesus in that day, because he would come to a village and people would flock in from everywhere and bring those who were sick and infirmed. And repeatedly, it says in the Gospels, and he healed them all. He healed them all. He didn't stop short. No hard cases. Every one of them was healed. Didn't matter how bad it was. If you had a sniffle or a cold, or if you had leprosy, if you were deaf, if you were blind, whatever it might have been. And amazingly enough, the Lord very clearly illustrated in several places that he raised the dead. And Lazarus had just been taken. So to set the stage a little bit clearer, this is probably Monday before the cross on Friday that these words are being said. The last 10 chapters of the book of John are in the last 6 days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first 11 chapters are all about all of his life leading up to the cross, you might say, but the last 10 chapters are very full of our Lord's training and teaching and speaking to the disciples. But here he comes into this instance, one of the last instances where anyone approaches him hardly about anything. These Greeks come. They may have come for healing. We don't know. It very well could be that. In this fallen world that we lived in, many of us need to be healed. But he's the great physician, and so we rejoice in that. We have a God who's the great physician that can heal. We have those in our midst right now that need healing. We rejoice that we have a God that can heal and does heal, and we delight in that. It may very well be that they came for quickening. they might have sensed in their own being the deadness of the fallenness of Adam in their lives. We're fallen creatures. You're fallen. Hosea 14:1. You're fallen. Coming to the Lord because you're fallen. We need life, and He's the one who holds life in His hands. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we come to Him for life. And so we need to be quickened. We come to Him for freedom. If you read in Isaiah 61 right now, the same portion that our Lord read when He started His earthly ministry, He went into the synagogue and He opened to Isaiah 61. And He said, for these reasons I have come. And one of those reasons was to set at liberty the captive, the one who had captured in bondage. I come to set you free. And later our Lord in His own words says, and if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And this speaks very clearly to the fact that we as sinners today are set free from our sin in Jesus Christ the Lord. There should be a resounding in our hearts. My heart does not leap as it should leap at times when I just consider for a moment that all my sins have been forgiven and that I'm free in Jesus Christ the Lord. I don't know the bondage that these men had. It's all supposition right now. All of this is until we get to the meat of the matter. But to be set free from our sin is a gloriously wonderful thing. Listen, sing it forth. Shout it unto the high heavens that the Lord has set us free from our sins. The bondage is no more. If the Son makes you free indeed. And we are thankful for that today in Jesus Christ the Lord. It very well could have been that they came for strength. The Lord ends His earthly ministry by saying, and all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And go ye therefore and preach the gospel. All power is given. If you need strength, I am your strength. David says, you're the strength of my life. The psalmist said that. You're the strength of my life. Well, if we need strength, lots of times I'm weary. Old men, I rehearsed at the nursing home this morning that today is the last day of the first half of 2019. Tomorrow will be the first day of the second half. That means we're already completed the first half of the year. How quickly it has passed. And then I looked over at that crowd and I said, that means that you're closer to the end. Now they're right there. I said, y'all are closer to the end than you are in the beginning. You can look back and that's your life. What you see forward is very little because you only have a short time to live. You only have a short time to live. We need strength, and old men need strength. I need strength. The psalmist needed strength, and he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. We need that strength. We need peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He enters in and gives peace. Peace in our minds, peace in our bodies, peace. And He helps us. I think of the Gadarene demoniac. He was that man that was full of the devil, a legion of demons in him. And when the Lord spoke the word, it says that he was seated at Jesus' side in his right mind and clothed. That man was at peace. He had been in great turmoil, but he was at peace. And so it may be that these guys just needed some peace, We don't know. May have been for rest. It may have been for gladness. It may have been for light. It could have been for fullness. All of these are very positive reasons for them to come, and so I won't belay this much longer. But there are some negative reasons that they might have come. They might have been like those in John chapter 6. Y'all remember John chapter 6? This is where the Lord fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then they followed, the crowd followed Him around, and they were chasing Him. And the Lord looked back at them and read their hearts and said, you are following me because of what? The loaves and the fishes. You're following me because that was the best food you ever ate. I want you to know if you ever eat any of the Lord's food, it's the best. I like to argue that my mama's is the best, but that always inflamed my wife, so I say my wife's is the best. But if you really want to get down to it, if the Lord gives you a loaf of bread, it's the best loaf of bread. And so when He multiplied that bread, it was the best. And they wanted more of it. And I don't know that that's a very good motive. We go to Christ to just get something out of it. There's a lot of people go to church today. Don't be among this that I'm about to describe. They go to church to rub shoulders with guys like me, rich and famous. They come to church for what they can get out of it. Well, I go to church with Joe. I go to church with Sam. I go to church with the rich and famous. I go to church with the business people. I go to church for that. Don't go to church for that. God help you, don't have that motive. Don't have that motive to come to church. Oh my goodness. We come for Him, for Him alone. We can come with a motive such as that for what we get out of it. We can be like the Greeks, which Paul described in back in the book of Acts, where he described, he said, they always are looking for what? Something new. They're always looking for something new. They looked at Paul and said, oh, he's saying things we haven't heard before. And Paul looked at them and described them as those who are always thinking about, they're always looking for something new. They were of that mind's eye. Listen, we walk in old paths and rejoice to walk in old paths. We'll continue to walk in old paths. And that's just the way it is. It's not a new gospel. It's the same gospel. It's the gloriously good gospel that we preach. But they may have been because of something new. Sheer curiosity might have brought them. They might have come strictly as a sightseer. I love to see sights. My dad messed us up right off the beginning. I don't believe my dad ever left the holler until he found my mother. And then he actually went around town a little bit. He was around town. I don't believe he ever left Tennessee until he had children. And he had children, and he desired to see the world, so he carried us to the ocean several times to fish. Us boys, we were fishermen from the earliest age. I go down there, and I love to see the ocean, but the ocean was difficult for me. Did you know if you're fair-skinned like I am, nothing of you can escape the sun because the sun reflects into the water and hits you right in the face, under your arm. Anywhere that's exposed, you get burned. And I got burned up down there several times, but we love to go. And it gets worse. Linda and I, worse than that. We goers and goers. We carried our kids to Disney World. We went to see the sights everywhere. We carried them to the mountains several times. We went out to Mount Rushmore. We went out to the Grand Canyon. I've seen the Grand Canyon a half a dozen times. Still scares me. I walk up to the edge of it and say, well, if that part failed that bad, this part I'm standing on could fall in any time. So I sort of back away from it, but scared me to death. I carried 14 kids there one time. I thought we was going to lose them down in that hole. And it would have been a real loss if it had plowed forward. But we're sightseers. We're all just like that. We're sightseers. May very well come. Somewhat implied by our Lord's answer. They just came to see the sights. What was his motive? What were their motives? The Lord spoke to them immediately. I didn't see this in my first two lessons there, but I kept pondering, why did the Lord just leap into something that seems to be altogether not a response to them? But in the old King James, it says in verse 23, and Jesus answered them. Well, the only them we can think of were Andrew and Philip and the Greeks. And Jesus answered them, and he said these words, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In other words, if you want to see something glorious, you've come at the right time. For the hour has come. The Son of Man is about to be glorified. Now, we could expand that thought and think that, well, the Lord was speaking about his resurrection on Sunday. It's today, we believe today is Monday here in this. On Sunday to come, the Lord would rise from the dead. They could have said, well, that's what he is talking about. They could have been said, well, he's speaking about his glorious ascension, which would take place in about 45 days after this. Or his enthronement in heaven, which would take place in about that same vicinity of time. But that's not what the passage implies. The passage implies by the very next verse that verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Stands alone. Now Jesus is speaking of himself right here and going to the cross. And he's saying to us, if you want to see something glorious, you Greeks, and I could say that to you, most of y'all are sort of Greekish. I mean, don't you know, you're sort of Greeks. I'm sort of Greekish. We don't have too many Jews in here, but we do have some. But for which we're very thankful. Amen? Amen. For which we're very thankful. We're sort of Greekish. And our Lord looked and he said to them, guys, you've come at the right time. The hour's come. You've come to see something glorious, haven't you? They might have heard about the Lord opening the eyes of the man that was born blind in John chapter 9. They might have heard about the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. They very likely could have seen the event. And their hearts were filled with this gloriously wonderful, amazing man, Jesus Christ the Lord. And they say, we would see him. And the Lord said, you come at the right time. Go get you a seat. I can go show you where it's all going to happen at. Get you a front row seat. Friday of this week, going to be a mighty event. The hour has come where you're going to see the Son of Man glorified. And yet, most often we don't look at it like that. And even those in that day didn't look at it like that. The disciples said, this cannot be. This cannot be. Peter and our Lord had this dialogue because the Lord, Peter said to him, no, sir, buddy, you're not going to do this. And the Lord said to him, get behind me, Satan. Yes, I am. For that's what has to happen. Paul writes in Philippians, it sort of goes like this. He said, for he became obedient unto his Father. Obedient unto death. The full measure of obedience is unto death. That which you die for, you're obedient to. You give your life for it completely and die for it. You believe in that. And he came for one purpose. Our Lord came for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross so that the grain of corn, speaking of himself as a singular man, would not abide alone. If he had not gone to the cross, lived a perfect life, ascended unto heaven, he would have ascended unto heaven alone, because all of us would have died and gone to hell as sinners. But he said, I'm the firstborn among many brethren. And he had to die for that to be the case. He had to go into the ground. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So our Lord here sets forth to these Greeks that there's a sight to behold. There's a sight to behold. Linda, you shut me off in about 20 minutes. Okay. So you be her helper. You shut me off in 20 minutes, okay? And so he basically said to them, you get you a front row seat Friday and you're going to see the Son of Man glorified. The Lord God from heaven shut off the sun that day where it was darkness upon the face of the earth. Many, many were astounded by all that took place. It was a dreaded, terrible day. And we look at it in that way, and we look rightly at it in that way. But yet the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, said this is the moment that stands foremost. This is what is to be preached in all the world. Paul said it like this. He said, this is my only glory. My only glory is the cross of Jesus Christ the Lord. I boast in nothing else but the cross. That Jesus died for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. That's what our Lord told these Greeks. You come. You're on the front row seat. It's going to happen Friday. He doesn't really tell them that exactly right then, but he does go ahead and explain that the hour had come, that the Son of Man was to be glorified. And it was to happen very quickly. Happen very quickly. Well, I'd like to go real quick. Cowper's song came to me. As a matter of fact, the second verse, which goes like this, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. There was two guys there that did get a front row seat. They got to see Son of Man glorified. This was the reason that he came. He pressed toward this purpose of giving himself. In Gethsemane, he fought and prayed that if it be possible, let it pass. But with great resolution, he went forward to the cross. He could have stopped it at any time. We know that. But he didn't. He willingly bravely, courageously went to the cross. And that's what he's telling these guys right here. The Son of Man is about to be glorified. It ain't tough. But these two guys had particular front row seats. They were the guys who died with the Lord that day. One of them died, and for lack of a better statement, went straight to hell because he didn't have eyes to see. The Lord did not give him the gift of faith. But there was one man there, that dying thief, who'd never done anything good, wicked criminal, deserving of everything that he got. He even confessed that. He died there on that cross. And yet something amazing happened. He looked at Jesus Christ, the Lord, in all of his glory. And he said, Lord, I see it. I see it. I see your glory. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, most eyes, and I'd have to say even my eyes, so beholding that instance right then would have just seen a man dying in a terrible, awful way. But that one thief, he saw it. He saw the King of Kings laying down his life for him. And he believed on the Lord. And the Lord immediately looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I wrote 9 pages of notes. I've left all my notes, so I don't even know where I'm at right now. So let me just share with you. What a gloriously wonderful thing our Lord gives himself in such a beautiful way and invites men to see it. It's all written for us that we might know it. The third verse of that song says, and dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more. Have you been saved to sin no more? May God bless you with that kind of salvation, that we sin no more. May we be mindful of the one who gave himself for us on the cross and died for us, that we sin no more. That we give ourselves so beautifully and wholly to him that we would rather die than to deny his glory on the cross and paying the price. We'd rather die as sin against him who has loved us and given himself for us. That we would say, my life is not dear unto me. I stand with Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, I might have said that in such a way that you might imply, well, old Carol, he's a pretty straight-up kind of guy. I want you to know I struggle just exactly like you every day. I struggle just exactly like you every day with my old fallen self. But I love every moment to rejoice in the glorious gift of Jesus Christ the Lord on the cross for us. This is what is the shining light of the church today. So often we fail to preach it. So often we fail to proclaim it. We go to lesser lights and bring up lesser discussions. The greater light is this, that Jesus Christ the Lord died on a cross and paid the price of our sin, became obedient unto the cross. He gave himself in full obedience. This is radical. This is amazing. It's gloriously wonderful and gloriously true. Open your eyes to see it. Open your eyes to see it. And see it today. All of the reasons that we talked about and all the motives that we talk about that are positive just a few moments ago are positive to us now as believers in the Lord Jesus. I go to him for peace. I go to him for freedom. Oh, to be free from my sin. What a glorious, I bask in that. I bow and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I like to think that I'm not scared to die. Now, Lord, you don't ever know until that's confronted in your life. I mean, many times I've seen those who I would have said would have been tremendously courageous struggle in those last moments and tremble at the thought of it being the last moment in their lives. I've seen that happen. But I want you to know it's a wonderful thing to know that all of your sins, it's a wonderful thing to embrace the fact that Jesus is coming very soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ, and take me home. Take you home. We come for peace. We come for rest. We come for freedom. We come from Him making us alive, and He's made us alive through the gift of Himself to us. This is what the cross is. The Greeks, they came and said, Lord, we would see you. We'd like to see you. He said, how you come at just the right time. Just the right time. Because I'm about to give myself. I'm going to be that seed that falls into the ground and dies and raises up a crop. I'm going to be the firstborn among many brethren. Believe on Him today. Believe upon Him today. I've cut out all my notes. I've run way past them, so I'll stop. But may the Lord bless you today. There was a reason the Greeks came. I didn't see it at first. I didn't know what their motive was. And their motive was this. They wanted to see the glory of our Lord. It's a commendable motive. Commendable motive. And He answered them and said, you're about to see it. You're about to see it. I don't know how old you are, but if you're old as I am, that means you're pretty soon to see it. So may the Lord bless you, each one. May God bless you all. Father, thank you now for these few moments. Father, in my own weakness and frailty, scatterbrainedness never staying to my notes. I write it all out and then throw it all away. Lord, so many points I missed. But Lord, may I have struck several for the glory of your name. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for every gift that you've given. Lord, may we never, never forget that we stand on solid ground because you gave your life. You stood on the sinking sand for us and held us up, saved us. Lord, we need you every hour. We need your grace every hour. We bless you for your love towards us. We thank you for being the one who came to die, born to die, you were. We thank you that you're the one who came to die, that through your death we might receive everlasting life. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We rejoice in you today. We give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.